We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. What's up, everybody? It's Candlestick Chronicles. It's a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I, of course, am Chris Biederman. I am not our usual host. That is Kyle Madsen. He will be joining us whenever he's done writing because it's NFL draft night. Kyle's busy running NinersWire.com, of course, putting up all sorts of great content. So he will join us at some point. Oh, it looks like we have Kyle hopping in right now. Maybe I'll add him to the stage. Hey, Kyle, welcome to the intro.
Oh, hell yeah. Live. Come on.
Was just about to get to the Lamb Chops read. As you can see, I'm wearing Lamb Chops. We're brought to you by Lamb Chops, of course, our good friends at Lamb Chops. Our friends at Lamb Chops, who have partnered with the Minnesota Timberwolves to create some excellent merch, are enjoying quite the start to the NBA playoffs in their series against the Phoenix Suns. But more pertinent to us, the clothes rock. The clothes are good. First round picks, high grades, gold helmet type clothing, quality clothing, Lamb Chops. We love it. Rocking the hoodie right now, wearing some Lamb Chops sweats. I mean, what else can be said about Lamb Chops clothing that we haven't said already, Kyle?
You know what I can tell you right now, Chris? What's you look that? Dope.
Thanks,
which
buddy.
Is the most important thing.
So, yeah, shout out to Lamb Chops. Head to Lamb Chops, sglambchops.com. Follow them on Instagram at sglambchops. Promo code Candlestick20 for 20% off your first order. They have their new spring line out, which looks awesome, which I need to get on that and order some for myself. Shout out to Lamb Chops. You want to do our next read, Kyle?
Yeah, we're also sponsored by Prize Picks. I love Prize Picks. I've been cleaning up the NBA playoffs and Major League Baseball. 2 to 6 player entries. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports. You pick 2 to 6 players. You pick more or less on their stat projections. And then you watch a winnings pile up. It's been great. It enhances the sports viewing experience immensely. And it does so without having to worry about sharp guys or playing against 1,000 other players or injuries or anything like that. It is your 2 to 6 players. You're more or less on their projections. And you get to enjoy the sports. So, it's baseball, it's football, it's hockey, it's golf, like whatever sport you can think of, they've probably got it. And of course, we'll be rocking through the NFL season as well. So shout out to Prize Picks. We love them, and we think that you will love it as well. So head to prizepicks.com/candlestick, promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That is prizepicks.com/candlestick, promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. You want to talk about Ricky Pearsall?
Yeah, let's talk about if we're going more than or less than on Ricky Pearsall after the intro here.
Blue Wire. Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Kittle in Denver territory! Kittle is gonna go! Touchdown! Bosa's got him, and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drives. For a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives, and he's in. Touchdown, 49ers.
Dude, you said it at the end of the last pod. You were like, after all this, after everything we... Or I guess it was after our mock draft with Rob Lauder, where we talked about no fewer than 10 prospects. We're like, is it this guy? Is it that guy? How does this player fit? How does that player fit? And at the end of the pod, you said, they're going to wind up taking some guy that we're not even thinking about. And lo and behold, look at that. Ricky Pearsall.
So we got kind of pump faked a little bit.
Ooh.
A prominent journalist who covers the 49ers who has been known to break news. I'm not going to name him because I don't really feel like, you know, but we all make mistakes time and again. But a prominent person who covers the 49ers.
I'll say
tweeted
it.
Out
I'm joking.
That it was Cooper DeJean. And that was my first reaction was like, holy cow, Cooper DeJean. Like that's kind of an unexpected pick. Like Cooper DeJean, I think like,
I'm going to call him your guy, like, your guy, Cooper.
I don't know if he was my guy. I think JPJ might've been my guy a little, maybe.
You know what? You're right. You're right. JPJ was your guy.
We were pump faked a little bit, but then it ended up being Ricky Pearsall, and I started scanning all of my materials, and I was like, how far down am I going to have to scroll before I get to Ricky Pearsall? turns out it was around 45. Two of my more helpful draft materials, cheat sheets, if you will, had him as their number 45 overall prospect. So if there's a downside to this, I think that probably just where to start. If there's a downside to Ricky Pearsall at 31, maybe it's a reach. And I'm only basing that on, you know, what the materials are telling me. I'm not going to pretend like I had a big board and I ranked every single receiver.
Sure.
Far be it from me to sit here and act like I know more about receivers than Kyle Shanahan and some of the other very talented people in their personnel department who are good at scouting receivers in particular. So I think if there's if you want to criticize the pick, you could say, yeah, maybe 31 is a little bit rich. Mm-hmm. If you want to take the other side of that, you can say, well, they only had 22 first round grades on guys. So really after you get past those 22 guys, which I assume they were all gone, because John Lynch did not say in his post-draft press conference that Pearsall was, in fact, one of those first-round grades.
He didn't do the classic GM thing of like, if we had the first overall pick, this is who we would have taken.
He said, I think Cone asked him, and John Lynch just laughed and said, yeah, we had a high grade on Ricky. He didn't say we had a first round grade on, which it was kind of a funny moment, but it made it pretty clear that he wasn't one of the 22 guys. So, I mean, if you're not getting one of your 22 first round guys, you can easily convince me that you're just kind of throwing darts. And if there's a dude that you like, whether he's your 45th ranked prospect or your 25th ranked prospect, if you're picking 31, he's there for you and you think he fits and you have conviction and a very clear idea of how he's going to work for you, then I think it's, you know, it makes sense. We talked about Ladd McConkey, like not a lot, but like a pretty decent amount.
We talked about him quite a bit.
As much as anyone else that I guess we talked about with pick 31, I think just about everything we said about Ladd McConkey in terms of the fit and why you would draft somebody like that sort of applies here. Like, I think all of that logic tracks with Pearsall because he's a slot guy. He makes a lot of sense with Brock Purdy when you just look at the way he plays. I know our buddy Nick Wagner had Pearsall stats saying that he was college football's most productive player of the last 2 years in deep crossing routes, both in receptions and yards on deep crossers. Like that just, if there's anything that Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy do, it's the deep crosser. So if you get a receiver as good at a deep crosser, makes plenty of sense. But I mean, the bigger discussion, obviously, like Pearsall, you know, he has really good hands, 42 inch vertical, like he's 4.4 speed, good athlete. He's not huge. He's what, six? Let me get this right. 6'1", 189 to 191 pounds, depending on if you're doing the combine weigh in or the pro day weigh in. 6'6", 4.3 cone, which is like lightning. I think he's got a pretty impressive spider graph. I don't know if we want to start sharing.
Oh, hit that screen share. Let me see the spider graph.
Sharing, We're sharing the spider graph.
Oh, come on.
There we go.
This guy gets it. Hang on. Before we continue, this guy gets it. Nothing.
You know, 82 percentile in the 40, 97 in the vert, 88 in the broad jump, 93rd percentile in the three cone, 89 in the, what's that, the 20-yard shuttle, 40-yard shuttle? One of the change directions, speed drills. Anyway, I just think, like, I watched a little bit on him. I read up a little bit on him. The toughness is there. He catches the ball. He's been a 3-year starter in college. He's going to be 24 during his rookie season, which is
like older than Brock Purdy.
Is he older than Brock Purdy?
That's I don't think he's older than Brock Purdy, but he's pretty old.
So, yeah, he turns 24 during the season. But one of the things I talked about, and I think we agreed upon, was that you probably want to get a guy who can contribute right away and isn't going to be like a project. To me, Cooper DeJean. Or not, sorry, not Cooper DeJean. Wow. To me, Ricky Pearsall. Your guy. I was reading the comments. To me, Ricky Pearsall is going to be somebody who contributes right away, whether it's as a third receiver or as a kickoff and punt returner. And I think he's going to slot right into that Raze McLeod's role. That he vacated when he bolted in free agency. So to me, like, is this dude going to be an all pro and a, you know, like a 1500 yard receiver? Probably not. Could he be a productive player in his role with the 49ers? I think absolutely early on in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Could he be somebody that is good enough to allow you to move on from Deebo Samuel next offseason? And we can talk about the Brandon Ayuk trade that didn't happen. That was
I would love to talk about that. I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay, so I've rambled for a good like 10 minutes here. Curious what you think about the Ricky Pearsall pick.
This 17th percentile wingspan is really really deeply concerning. No, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there at the end. You're probably not looking at an all-pro receiver here. Just when you just look at his profile and all that, and you can say it's a reach. I think he was 45th overall on Dane Brugler's board. Daniel Jeremiah had him 40th. It's not like they took some guy who was ranked outside the top 100. And This is... Ricky Pearsall does the things that we talked about. I talked about this with Tage Seth in our last episode. I think we so often with receivers get wrapped up in height, weight, speed. How tall is he? How heavy is he? How fast is he? And we overlook things like this guy gets open and this guy catches the football. And we just kind of overlook how important those things are when it comes to playing wide receiver. Like, Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings ran like a 4.7 at the combine. But he runs good routes and he catches the football and he's good after the catch and he's become a productive NFL receiver. Ricky Pearsall has all that and 4.4 speed. Like he has the requisite athleticism to break off a big play if need be. But man, he's just, you watch him and it's like, dude, this guy's open all the time. He's got really good hands. You can tell he's got a really good feel for how to play football.
He can take a hit.
Yes. Yeah. Really, really tough. I rock with it, man. I don't want to say disappointment. The surprise to me comes from like, man, okay, let's say Ricky Pearsall does kind of what we're talking about. He doesn't do anything crazy. He doesn't turn into Jerry Rice, but he's like never makes a Pro Bowl and maybe makes a Pro Bowl or two, but is just a reliable slot guy. 75, I don't know, the Niners passing numbers are weird, but like 75 catches a year and maybe he gets to 1,000 every now and then and he has, you know, 4 or 5 touch, like he's just a reliable receiver. That's nice, but it's also like, man, it's a first round pick. Like that feels like the kind of thing you could have gotten production out from with a guy later on in the draft. But that's all speculation. If Ricky Pearsall is just a good receiver for the Niners for 10 years, then it was a good pick, you know. What up, y'all? It's Kyle from Candlestick Chronicles here to talk to you about AG1. Do I sound unfocused? Do I sound sluggish? Do I sound stressed? Probably not. And that is thanks to AG1, because when I started drinking AG1 daily, I noticed an uptick in energy and an uptick in focus. And that's because AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. And that's what I'm here for. Not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I love that every scoop also includes vitamin C and zinc to support my immune health. That's right. You got to support your immune health, not just in the cold months, but in the warmer months too, as we enter the spring and the summer. You got to keep rocking with AG1. I recommend AG1 to all my friends and family because it has a team of doctors and scientists that work on this formula constantly. It is formulated based on the latest science and maintains high quality standards every single time. Even my buddy Randy, who is a high school teacher, he started drinking AG1 and he always tells me, like, dude, I noticed the uptick in focus. I noticed the uptick in energy. And I'm like, dude, me too. That's why I recommended it to you. And that's why I'm recommending it to all of you listening right now. I have loved having AG1 because I am a routine-based guy. And having a scoop to throw in water, or I've started putting it in my smoothie every morning, that makes it super easy. You take it right down and it's delicious in water by itself, but also it doesn't mess up my smoothie. And that's what I'm here for. You throw it in and you have your foundational baseline health nailed. I still got to work out. I still got to eat right. But AG1 makes it easier because it gets me off on the right foot every single day. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs when you first subscribe. Go to drinkag1.com/candlestick. That's drinkag1.com/candlestick. Especially into the first.
Yeah, like I think it's totally fair to be of the mind that 31 feels like a reach for a guy that, you know, a lot of people had is like in the 40s or 45 overall as a prospect. But the thing is, if you are moving down, you have to have, you know, it takes two to tango. It takes two teams to make a trade down worth it. And maybe there were trade down options that just were too far or teams weren't offering enough, you know? So like it, I don't ultimately have a problem. Like if you like a guy at 40, like, you're not going to I'm not going to tell you, you absolutely can't pick him at 31.
Right.
It's just, it's going to be, you know, like if Johnny Newton ends up being as good as we think he might be, and he goes early in round two, then maybe that's where you look at the players who were taken after him. Like Johnny Newton felt like somebody who might go in the 20s. Right. And be a really, really productive interior defensive lineman who fits what the 49ers do almost to a T. And looks like a really productive player, but you know, somebody who had a foot injury and maybe that, you know, scared teams off a little bit from a medical perspective. Cooper DeJean, somebody who could, you know, the 49ers love their versatility in the defensive backfield. There might be a vacuum at safety potentially with Talanoa Hufanga coming off an ACL and also entering the last year of his contract. You could absolutely make the case for somebody like Cooper DeJean. And if he ends up being a really good player who could play outside or inside or at safety where the 49ers could potentially make any three of those positions work, then that's something that, you know, we'll talk about. I didn't think, and most of the tackles went before the 49ers were on the board. Maybe the 49ers could have traded up for a tackle. We talked about the tackle class, particularly like the second half of the group in the first round, just didn't really feel like slam dunks.
Can I tell you
that you trade picks to get up and go get? So I'm fine with them not taking a tackle there.
Same. I giggled like an idiot every single time one of these tackles went off the board. And Mel Kiper, in his analysis, I watched the ESPN broadcast, in his analysis, at some point brought up the guy playing guard. Every single one of them, dude. Except for Joe Alt. But JC Latham, Taliese Fuaga, Troy Fautanu, Olu Fashanu, every single one of them. Like, yeah, maybe he winds up a guard. I see him more as a guard. It was, dude, and every single time I was like,
right.
It was great.
Right. The best tackle class we've seen in years, and most of these dudes might be better at guard. It's I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I did more work than all these guys whose profession it is to evaluate draft prospects. I just think it's funny sometimes the way it got talked about was like, oh, this is such a deep tackle class. And it's like, yeah, a lot of these guys are probably going to be guards.
Right.
But I didn't have any problem with the 40. And as you know, Flynn West in the chat, I just had the comment up, said they could have had an excellent upgrade at center. Yeah. I mean, JPJ is somebody who I talked about a lot, who I thought would have made a lot of sense. And so that's ultimately like I'm in on Pearsall working for like being a Kyle Shanahan receiver. He very much feels like a Kyle Shanahan receiver.
Yeah.
Given his toughness, given his route running.
Yeah.
Given just his technical skills. Like he feels like somebody who fits. He's a slot guy. And when you're talking about, you know, the type of receiver that works with Brock Purdy, I think this is the guy to a T.
Dude.
And that's why I was in on Ladd McConkey. I feel like there are similarities between Pearsall and Ladd McConkey. McConkey might be more like productive in terms of catching the ball, but Pearsall might be more a better physical prospect.
Yeah.
And maybe more, you know, like be able to take a hit more, be less slight, be more explosive than McConkey was. And maybe that might have tipped the scales for Kyle Shanahan there.
My buddy Justin Mello works for the Draft Network and does like over 200 prospect interviews every year. It is crazy the amount of work this guy puts in. But he interviewed Ricky Pearsall and he sent me the piece. And here's a quote that really jumped out. And it's the one that Justin tweeted. Quote, I'm one of the best wide receivers in the 2024 NFL draft. I'm an elite route runner. I know how to set defenders up with my routes. I really understand the art of route running. And that to me feels like the kind of thing that makes Kyle Shanahan go googly-eyed.
So he lacks confidence is what you're saying.
Yeah. Hey, did you see his tattoo? I need to talk
I about saw that he tattoo. Has a bunch of tattoos.
Bro, what? He has one on his left. I mean, yeah, he's got like an entire sleeve, right? But on his left forearm, it says bet on me down near the wrist. And then there's a roulette wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's dice. And then there's cards, like playing cards, that appear at first glance to be a six-card royal flush, which is nuts in itself. You're like, that's a lot of cards. But then you look closer.
Most of them are five cards.
Right. But there's six cards there. And you're going, wait, what the hell? Why is it six? And then you look closer and you realize that the cards don't say J-Q-K-A. They spell out humble.
No, they don't.
I swear to God. I love this kid.
That's
incredible,
amazing.
Incredible shit.
They spell humble? The cards spell humble?
Yes. Yes, dude. Like, instead of the normal, like, J, Q, K for Jack, Queen, King, right. There's an H, a U, an M, and that's why there's six cards.
I'm going to have to look this thing up. That's
I'll post the link I'll send the link to everybody right now. I need everybody to put eyes on this bad boy.
That's amazing.
Can we talk about what this... Go ahead. I was going to ask
I didn't have anything.
Okay, perfect. I was going to say I want to talk about what this means for Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, because the reporting came down. If you're on YouTube, I just posted the Instagram link to his tattoo artist in the chat. This tattoo is totally nuts. But I saw the immediate reaction, because before the draft, there was all this reporting out that the Niners were making calls as high as number 8 about Brandon Ayuk, and that they were also talking about Deebo Samuel. And this and that. They wound up not trading Brandon Ayuk, a shocker. Except when Ricky Pearsall got taken, I got hit with a bunch of messages from people all over the place, out of the woodworks, like, wow, guess bye-bye Ayuk. I was like, wait, no. What? I don't... here's where I'm at. This doesn't mean anything for the futures of Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk outside of... within the scope of this season. Pearsall this year could be wide receiver 3 or wide receiver 4. He can return some punts. He can be a productive player for them. I think this was a threading the needle pick. where I think Brandon Ayuk is going to get extended, and I think this is probably Deebo Samuel's last year in a 49er uniform. And that's where Pearsall comes into the picture, is more in 2025 than in 2024. I don't think the 49ers picked a receiver 31st overall with the intention of being like, oh yeah, he's going to replace one of our starters this year. Matt Barrows and Tim Kawakami both said during the draft that the 49ers were looking for a pick in the first half of the first round from Brandon Ayuk. And once the Chargers traded 17, the prevailing thought from people who cover the team was, okay, well then the Niners are out on trading Ayuk. So they're like, if that's the case, then they're certainly not moving in for a day two pick. So I just don't think this has any bearing on that stuff at all.
I think this is one of the, like, look, when you're in the media world, which you and I are both in, and we both understand how important clicks and listens and downloads and all of those things are to our livelihoods. Mm-hmm. When there's a potentially explosive topic that people are interested in, the media is going to hammer on it. And sometimes rightfully so. And sometimes it's just something to hammer on because it's something to hammer on. When the 49ers, like anytime Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are asked if a trade is possible, they will always say yes. Kyle Shanahan, his default answer is they'll trade me if they get the right offer. They right. will never say, no, we're not interested in trading anybody. That's their default answer. So you can take that and turn that into a headline and the genesis of a pre-draft story and say, you can't take a Brandon Ayuk trade off the table. Mm-hmm. When really the actual context is they would trade Brandon Ayuk for a top 10 pick or a top 15 pick. And people aren't going to trade a top 15 pick for Brandon Ayuk in a receiver class where there are three guys who might be as good as Brandon Ayuk as rookies who are going to cost a quarter of the price on the rookie contracts than what Brandon Ayuk's going to make on his next deal. So I think there was a little bit of hysteria about like Diana Rossini reporting that the 49ers are, she said the 49ers had conversations with teams, including one picking in the top 10, about trading either of their prized wide receivers, Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, in an effort to move up in the first round per sources. My read on that situation, and this is just me speculating, I haven't heard anything, so I want to make that clear. The 49ers are never the team, or at least since John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have been there, have never been the team that has been known to leak this information, right? Like, that was a huge issue that the previous regime had, that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch made it a point early on in their tenures to say, we're not leaking information.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, this is coming from elsewhere, and this reads like a team kind of being annoyed that the 49ers were asking a ton for Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk, that team being annoyed and saying, screw that, I'm going to leak this and make it look like the 49ers are trying to trade Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel.
Right.
And then they leak it, and that's then this tweet happens.
That's super the vibe.
It gets thousands of retweets and impressions and whatever, and it makes it look like, oh, the 49ers are really in this trade thing. It's like, no, the 49ers will listen, but they're very clearly not actively trying to trade Brandon Ayuk. They would have traded Brandon Ayuk if someone would have offered them a top 10 pick. I feel pretty confident in that. If they could have got Rome Odunze or, you know, Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr., then yeah. But it never seemed likely. And Kyle Shanahan said in his post-draft press conference tonight that was unlikely that they were going to trade Brandon Ayuk. And I said it, you know, when the season ended, knowing that all this stuff was coming down the pipe, like, it was going to get contentious. It was going to get weird. There was going to be a ton of conversation. But more likely than not, Brandon Ayuk was not going to get traded by the Niners, and more likely than not, Brandon Ayuk's going to have a new contract at some point before training camp starts. And when you look at all the deals the 49ers have done, whether it's George Kittle or Fred Warner, or, you know, Trent Williams came around free agency. That was one of the few that happened early in the spring because it was, you know, it was free agency. It wasn't He was a free agent. It wasn't like a scenario where he was under contract. Nick Bosa's only one where it like lasted into or super late into training camp. But all these deals get done over the summer. Deebo Samuels got done over the summer after being super contentious. So this was always the way, in my opinion, that it was trending. And there was a lot more made of the Niners saying, well, yeah, we'll listen to any trade offer. Like they're and again, that goes back to like Kyle Shanahan saying, I hope John Lynch will listen to trade offers for me, because if he gets a good one, then I'm probably out of here. And he's kidding. Mm-hmm. But the point stands, like they will listen to trade offers on anybody. And just because they're listening doesn't mean they're actively trying to trade somebody. There was no logic in them trading Brandon Ayuk today, unless they got a top 10 pick and could replace him with a starter, whether it's at receiver or maybe a high level tackle who they feel like overall provides them an upgrade. Like they are content with trying to work out a deal with Brandon Ayuk. And that's been the case all along. So yeah, I just get a little bit frustrated sometimes because we're in a social media headline grabbing culture where, okay, don't rule out a trade. Well, it's like, okay, yeah, we're not ruling out a trade, but no one's offering four first round picks to the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. Like that, you know, like, yeah, we're not going to rule out a trade, but like, really, how likely is a trade happening? That's an entirely different discussion than just simply stating, like, don't rule it out.
Hey, it's Kyle and Chris from Candlestick Chronicles, and we're here to talk to you about Prize Picks. We love Prize Picks. I don't think, Chris, I don't think anything has ever enhanced my sports watching experience more than Daily Fantasy. I've had such a blast with it.
Even more so than having a podcast.
Yeah, way more than having a podcast. Like, okay. This is work. Prize Picks is the very best thing, and I know we talked about it all during football season, but, y'all, it's not just a football... It's not just football. It's not just a football app. It's not just a football site. Prize Picks has, I mean, anything that you can think of, you can build a daily fantasy sports entry in it. 2 to 6 players, regardless of the sport, you pick more or less on their stat projections, and then you watch the winnings roll in. Or in our case, you watch the losses pile up. But we're ready to bounce back this basketball season and baseball season or tennis or whatever you are into. You can build your entry, again, 2 to 6 players, pick more or less on the stat projection, and it's my favorite thing. I had so much fun this year.
You don't have to be on an email chain with all of your friends.
It's a great point.
Hoping that they're going to be ready for the draft. You don't have to be scouring the waiver wire when your best running back and receiver gets injured on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You don't have to argue with your friends about doing a snake draft or an auction draft.
You're just giving me anxiety thinking about all these things.
It's a week. It's, you know, you can be on there. You can make your picks and you can get out. You don't need to do hours and hours of research. Not that you can't. If you want to do all your research, totally. More power to you. But all of the dregs that come along with being in a normal fantasy operation, you don't have to worry about with Prize Picks. And that's what makes it fun.
And the thing that I love about Prize Picks specifically with daily fantasy is you're not playing against like sharp guys. You're not playing against thousands of other players. It is you and your entry. And that's it. And it's super easy to use. You go to prizepicks.com/candlestick. Use promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That's right. We're giving that to you. prizepicks.com/candlestick. First deposit promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Jump in there today. You're going to have a great time. And like I said, it's not just for football season. So get locked in. Whatever sport you want, PrizePicks has got it at prizepicks.com/candlestick, and make sure to download the app as well. Super easy to use, super fun, and we think that you will love it just as much as we do. Again, that's prizepicks.com/candlestick, promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That's PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like myself, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. I promise, the 49ers, who all underwent off-season surgery, Dre Greenlaw, Treverius Ward, George Kittle. I promise they know all of those things. And that's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of Candlestick Chronicles. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement Systems, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Man, that sounds awesome. Whether you're here in the Bay Area or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/candlestick to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/candlestick. No materials or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system. Well, and there's a sizable difference here between this guy is a shithead. We're trying to trade him. We'll take a day two pick and a future day three pick and call it good. That's a massive difference from, yeah, we're working out a contract with this guy, but if somebody wants to give us a top 10 pick, then we're happy to do so. And frankly, I don't know if there's that many players on the Niners roster who wouldn't be available for a top 10 pick. just while we're here. But yeah, I'm with you, man. And the whole Deebo Samuel aspect of it, it's like, yeah, if a team calls and says, can we give you a third round pick for Deebo? And the Niners go, no, but you can give us your first. That they had trade talks about Deebo Samuel.
Right. Then that team who was like, could you believe these assholes want a first for Deebo at this point? And then they'll leak it. Like, look at these schmucks.
Right.
You know, and then it's like the 49ers are having conversations with teams about moving up and getting a first round pick for Deebo Samuel. And it's like, Sure. So I, you know, again, I don't have inside information on this particular subject, but that's just my read. And, you know, going back to what we said, I think going on months now, like a contract with Brandon Ayuk feels like it's going to get done. It might take some time. But like Brandon Ayuk is texting Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch in their group chat, complimenting the pick of Ricky Pearsall, their former teammates at Arizona State, and saying fire pick, can't lie, or whatever.
Yeah, like, come on, man. Fine.
It's not this is not like John Lynch and Brandon Ayuk have the same agent. Like, it would be a massive upset if they could not come together and figure out a contract. It's just going to be a complicated contract. The 49ers are in a complicated financial situation with all the highly paid players they have, and it's just going to take some time. And very rarely, if ever, are teams close in April. And like, yeah, the Eagles have signed now two lucrative contract extensions to their receivers. And maybe they just, their process is different. And that can happen. And maybe the Lions too. So like that can happen, but it just doesn't happen with the 49ers. And history suggests that these deals get done in the summer when the 49ers try to drag this along as long as they can to try to do what's best for them. And it is what it is. But, you know, like the Niners aren't going to trade Brandon Ayuk for a second round pick or even like a future one. I just don't see it unless things just turn really, really sour. And I just don't see that happening. Brandon Ayuk wants to be with the Niners.
Right. And the fact that his agent has come out and publicly refuted even minor rumors about trade talks and stuff, I don't know. It just feels it feels like everything is trending toward Ayuk signing an extension. And I don't think ultimately the Ricky Pearsall pick has anything to do with that.
No, it doesn't. But what it does do is it gives them a potential option. Like if he develops and they feel really good about his development through this season and you're trying to shed salary next offseason when Brock Purdy is due for a massive contract, then, you know, maybe this allows you to move off of Deebo. And we've been saying that really for, you know, going really, as soon as Debo signed his deal, it was like, all right, the Niners have an out going into 2025. Right, right. So yeah. We'll see. You know, we'll see, because they're going to have to pay BA eventually. Mm-hmm. And they're at that point where they're going to pay BA. And again, we'll reiterate, the way these deals work is that the cap number early on is typically small. So while BA will be on a big contract and will be enjoying the fruits of what is likely to be a massive signing bonus, his cap number is probably going to be small and it's probably going to be palatable. So the 49ers will be able to pay Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk at the same time for a year. Mm-hmm. But then when those cap numbers get bigger as the contracts age, it might be a little bit more difficult, which is why Debo Samuel, and I think he has like a $28 million cap hit for 2025. Unless mm-hmm. he restructures and signs a new deal, I think it's more likely that Brandon Ayuk is still with the 49ers on a new extension. Debo Samuel is either traded or released playing elsewhere. And, you know, then the 49ers hope Ricky Pearsall can develop into a starter level player. Right. And then they move on from there with Brock Purdy, you know, making $50 million a year or whatever it's going to be.
Yep. It's been funny arguing about this with people on the internet. And they're like, so that means, so if you pay Ayuk, that means Debo's gone. Like, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah, you're not paying both of them $25+ million. That's crazy.
Well, there's a difference between saying you're not paying them and you're not having two massive cap numbers at receiver yeah. in addition to Brock Purdy's $50 million cap hit.
Yeah, man. It's a new core. They're moving on to a different phase of the 49ers. So,
and maybe Debo Samuel has a season like he had in 2021 and he makes that decision extremely difficult for them.
Sure. Sure. No doubt. They would love that, but they're still trying to win. They're still trying to win a Super Bowl, and they have a better chance of doing that with Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk on the roster than not.
And if you think this off season about like Brandon, like this has been the Brandon Ayuk off season. If you think this off season is dramatic, which it hasn't been, there's just been a lot of discussion about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait till next off season. The next off season with Debo and everything, that's going to be. That's going to be a wild one. That they might, I mean, we'll see how it goes. But, and again, we've seen teams move on from receivers all the time. We saw the Packers do it with Devontae Adams. We saw the Chiefs do it with Tyreek Hill. Like, you can be successful and move on from receivers because, you know, it feels like every year in the draft, there's just dudes after dudes after dudes that you can get, you know, first, second, third round and find productive guys. And I think that's, you know, the 49ers to continue with their championship window being open, their core, and we'll talk about this as the offseason goes, but their core is going to have to evolve and change. And part of that means losing players. Like, you already lost Eric Armstead. You know, you had your core, you had your 2019 core that went to the Super Bowl. You had your 2023 core that went to the Super Bowl. And, you know, 2024, 2025, 2026, like, it's not going to be the same guys. It's going to be Nick Bosa, Brock Purdy, and Fred Warner, and Brandon Ayuk. And who knows how long Trent Williams is going to be around? Who knows how long George Kittle is going to be around? Who knows how long Debo is going to be around? Like, there are guys who, you know, football careers aren't forever. So
yep.
That's just the reality of the league, and that's what the 49ers are facing now. And Ricky Pearsall might be a part of that.
They hope so. They need to start getting some picks right. And if Ricky Pearsall is a 100 catch a year slot receiver for them for half a decade or more, then great. Terrific.
He's Trent Taylor with like a ton of athleticism.
He's like adult sized Trent Taylor.
that's cruel. I'm not going that far, but
I say like, that because Trent Taylor and I are the same height.
Okay, fair enough. But you know, like, I think he's gonna be.
So, I didn't. That's so mean. I didn't mean that. Adult
size. Trent Taylor has had a very successful life. Shout out to Trent Taylor.
Dude, he is doing a lot of winning.
Ricky Pearsall is going to be a third receiver. You have Juwan Jennings. We haven't mentioned Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings is in the last year of his contract. So
we're on a one-year tender.
This is This is an upgraded Ray McLeod spot, at least for 2024. Mm-hmm. And then in 2025, the question will be, can he evolve into a starter? And look, Ray McLeod has made some plays for the Niners. Like, he's been an important player at certain times. He's made some game-changing plays. There was a kickoff return against the Cardinals a couple years ago. The Niners were playing like crap, and then that kind of sparked him, right? Like, it's possible, guys.
Richie James?
Was that Richie James?
Yeah. It's a screen pass.
Well, I thought there was a kickoff return.
He housed one against the Seahawks.
Point being, whether it's
that
Richie
was Richie James,
James
too,
or Ray McLeod. Okay. Well, let's shift this conversation. Point being, you can have a guy who's capable of impacting a game if he's not your, first or second receiver.
Yeah. No doubt.
And the 49ers don't have a lot of room, like, on either side for starters.
Bottom line is, if you're drafting a receiver in the first round, you're drafting him to be on the field a lot and not a third or fourth guy. Ricky Pearsall needs to be really fucking good at football.
I think he is. Like, I do too. I'm in.
I've talked myself into it.
31 might be rich, but I'm in on Ricky Pearsall succeeding with Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy.
I hate the pick at 31. At 34, I would have loved it.
Right. Oh. But, all right. We'll see.
All right, guys.
Let's see where Ladd ends up.
That's, yeah. Just got Kirkland Brand Ladd McConkey over here. If Ladd McConkey is good, I'm going to, Ladd's another.
What if Ladd is just Kirkland Brand Pearsall?
Oh, snap. You know what's funny about that is Pearsall kind of sounds like a cleaner, like a kitchen cleaner, and Ladd sounds like a knockoff version of it.
Sure.
No, just me. Okay.
There are worse nicknames than Slick Rick, right?
Yeah. Slick Rick's fine.
All right.
What was the cat from Notre Dame who was like the Slippery Fox? Remember who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I don't remember his name.
I'm gonna figure out.
You're a bigger Notre Dame guy than I. There's only one school that matters in the Big West, or the Big West, the Midwest.
The Big West.
It's a long name.
Chris Finke. Chris Finke was his name. Okay. Goodbye, everybody. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your pods. And subscribe on YouTube, hit the little notification bell, like the video, search Candlestick Chronicles on YouTube or youtube.com/@CandlestickChroniclesPodcast. We will talk to you guys again after the draft, assessing all the 49ers picks. Can't wait.
See ya. Bye.